You can still join small groups. My wife, Dale, she oversees small groups, and we've been kind of busy because I became a grandfather for the fourth time yesterday. So Dale's been holding down the fort with the other two grand boys, and he's not here this morning, but she'll probably be here next week. She'll be here next week, and you can sign up, because we want to encourage everyone to be part of a small group in general, but especially in February. I'll mention it later. We're going to start the Serving Challenge, and we want everyone in our church to participate in that. So the small groups will be going through that. And then also, Larissa's event, the family event, you can sign up online. Okay, catalystchristiancommunity.org. Okay, all right. Well, today I will be giving the second part of my vision for Catalyst for 2026. And our vision for Catalyst this year involves three key elements. And it starts all with S's. It's surrender. We're continuing this theme of surrender, wholehearted surrender to the Lord. And then serving. And then shining. Okay, so that's our vision for this year. Last week I talked about the first two. I talked about surrender and serving. So if you haven't heard that message or watched it, I encourage you to do so, because that gives a little bit of a roadmap idea for this year, what we'll be going through. But I'm going to give a quick touch base on those two, and then we'll get into the third, which is shine. So first one, as I mentioned, is wholehearted surrender. And the vision for our church for this year is that we would grow in our surrender to the Lord. Surrender to the Lord, that's kind of the foundation for everything of our Christian life, of walking with the Lord. Basically, when we talk about surrender, it's acknowledging who God is and acknowledging who we are. That God is God and we are not. God is the potter. We are the clay. And when you get that right, when you embrace that, when you accept that, when you acknowledge that, everything will fall into place. Look at this, Isaiah 64:8. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. That's foundation, right? Knowing God as our loving Father. The Bible says you cannot enter into the kingdom unless you are like a child. And so establishing that father-son, father-daughter relationship says, yeah, Lord, you are our Father. We, all of us, are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Right now, we're going to watch a video. I love this video. I think I've shown it a couple of times in our service, but I really like it so much. And it's the video of a master potter in Incheon, South Korea. And this master potter, they're actually known as the Incheon Master Hand. And they're pottery masters. And as we watch this video, I want you to notice the potter, how he treats the clay. Notice his expression, his intentionality, his care, how he works the clay, his patience, his strength. Because the clay is all of us. We all start off as blobs of clay in the master's hand. So let's watch this video. Thank you. That's a picture of the Christian life. It's a picture of surrender. Acknowledging, God, you're the potter. We're the clay. Surrendering our lives, our future, who we are, so that he could take us as blobs of clay and lovingly, precisely, carefully, patiently mold us, constantly putting water into the Holy Spirit in our lives to keep us soft, pliable, moldable, willing to get his hands all dirty with the clay, because he wants to be involved, intimately connected in our lives. And in the end, creating in us the capacity to hold more of him. That's what surrender is about. Being willing to submit to the master hand in our lives. How do we surrender? Practically, how do we surrender? What do we do to acknowledge God in everything? As Psalms 3:6 says, basically asking two questions of the Lord every day or in whatever situation, circumstances you find yourself in. Asking our Father, Father, what do you want me to know in this situation? What are you teaching me? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to understand about you and who I am? What do you want me to know about this person, this circumstance? What do you want me to know? Give me revelation. Give me insight. Second question, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? We like to think we know what to do. We like to rely on our own abilities, our own reasoning, our own wisdom, our own thoughts, our own ideas. But oftentimes, that's not in alignment with what the Lord wants us to do. Sometimes it's completely opposite. And when we do the things and trust him in those things and take a step of faith to respond, amazing things happen that we wouldn't have expected. And so, surrender. Surrender. That's one of our focuses for this year. That's really our focus for all of our life. But in particular, that's a focus for this year. Next, it's learning to serve like Jesus. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. One of the many things that Jesus is he's a servant. And you know what that means? Father God is what? A servant. Father God, the God of the universe, the King of the universe is a servant. You know how I know that? Because Jesus said what? I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father say. So Jesus reflected the Father perfectly. And if he says, I have come to serve, I have come as a servant, that's the heart of the Father. You know, there is so much great joy in being blessed, in receiving, in getting gifts, and having good things done for us by others or by the Lord. There is so much blessing in that. There's so much joy in that. You know what has greater joy? Blessing others. That's what the Bible says. Blessing others. Paul quotes Jesus when he says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. As I talked about last week, there is joy in seeing others blessed. And when we serve, and when we step in that, and when we emulate and walk in the alignment with the Father and with Jesus, we experience his heart. His heart of feeling joy at seeing other people bless. When we serve, we experience more of the Father's heart for us, and we experience the Father's heart in seeing the people we serve blessed. I'm going to have someone come up, and he's going to share a little testimony. Tim Hino, come on up, Tim. Tim's one of our newer elders. And Tim shared a story about, last Thanksgiving, we always have our Thanksgiving testimony, open mic sharing, and he was sharing about that with me, and I thought, oh, man, that's just so awesome, so powerful. So Tim's going to share about that.
All right. Sorry, I sound like Philip Morris commercial or something right now. But anyways, Thanksgiving, thankful testimony Sunday. I was just sitting here by myself, people are coming up, sharing testimonies, what they're thankful for, and I was just sitting there, just listening and getting really, really emotional. Backstory: I'm not really that emotional person. Even in college, I think me and a buddy decided to try to find a movie that we cried about. And I think we watched sad movies for every week for 6 months or something, and we haven't found one yet. But anyways, I was sitting there, and everyone's coming up sharing, and I just inside of me was just bursting in with emotion, and I was just feeling I was about to cry every time. Even the simple ones of Sophie came up, I think, and she came up. She's like, "I'm thankful for my brother." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, my goodness." And then Tyson comes up and say, "I'm thankful for my sister." Oh my gosh, I'm like, "What's going on with me?" I'm just sitting there looking around and seeing if anyone's getting emotional either. And a bunch of other people came up. I'm sorry, some of them I didn't know. I don't know their name, I'm sorry, I should. I'm an elder, so I shouldn't, but my bad. Every story was touching to me, and I was getting super emotional, about to cry. I went home, talked to Steph. I'm like, "Hey, how was that testimony Sunday?" Because it was everyone was in church, and she's like, "Yeah, it was really good. Anyone touch you? Did you get emotional about anybody?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, a couple." "Well, a couple, which ones?" I was kind of asking her. Seeing engaging me with her, and she's like, "Oh yeah," and it's like, "Whoa, dang, I was emotional, emotional wreck for all of them." And she's like, "Oh wow," and I just realized, hearing everybody's testimonies and what they're thankful for, it was just a taste of what Jesus feels for you guys and what He's thankful in His heart. Just kind of feeling a little bit of taste of God's heart for you guys and how much love and appreciation and joy and thankfulness. And I was just like, wow, I just got a little bit of taste of that. And that's just so amazing just to feel that. And I was just so blessed. So, yeah.
It's interesting because I'm going to share later, but as the elders, we're going through some changes. We're kind of making some just structural, organizational different changes. And one of the things that we identified as one of the key roles of the elders is to be spiritual fathers. That's really one of the primary roles, and to carry the heart of the Father. And so when Tim was sharing with me, we just started talking, and then he was like, and we were saying, "Oh man, as he stepped into this role, the Holy Spirit is moving on his heart to give him the Father's heart for our church family." I thought, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's the joy of the Father for you and for people. And when you serve others and when you start walking in the Spirit of Jesus and who you really are, serving others, the Holy Spirit will begin to touch your heart and give you a joy that surpasses you yourself being blessed by being given to. There's a joy that surpasses that, the joy of the Father's heart by serving others. And so starting in February, we are going to go as a whole church through this study It's called the Serving Challenge. And so that's why we're encouraging everyone to be part of a small group, because we want everyone to participate in this Serving Challenge. And so, and I, like I said last week, if you're not in a group or you can't find a group, we'll figure it out. Just talk to my wife, Dale. She's like, call her little bulldog. She's my cute little bulldog. She'll be on it, and she'll be relentless to help you find a group, right? She will. So, we're going to grow in serving and growing in the heart of the Father and experiencing the Father's joy. So I encourage you to be part of a small group and grow in serving of other people. Finally, the third aspect of this vision is increasing our shine. Increasing our shine. Psalm 67, 1 and 2, God be gracious to us and bless us. So he said, God be gracious to us. Be gracious to me. Bless me. And cause his face to shine upon us. Shine your face on us. That your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. He says, bless us, shine your face upon us, be gracious to us, because in you doing that, your name will be known to all the nations. People will be saved in all the nations because you have blessed us. Isaiah 61:3, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Isaiah, in this passage, he's talking about the new Jerusalem. And he says, arise, Lord, shine upon the new Jerusalem. The Lord is going to, will shine upon you, Jerusalem. Who is the new Jerusalem? Revelations 21 says, we are. God's family, God's church, the believers, we are the bride. And so he says, at that point, the angel says to John, let me show you the bride coming, and it's New Jerusalem coming down. And that's us. And that's us. And so these words apply to us. God is shining upon us. Arise and shine your light, the light that God has shined upon you. How God has blessed you. Bless other people, because that's what he wants you to do. To shine on others as he has shined upon us. He has saved us. He has blessed us so we could bless others and shine upon them. There are two ways, I just want to share two ways that we can increase our shine. One of the ways, the first way, is to remove the dullness. To remove the dullness. That involves healing, consecration. We all need the Holy Spirit to free us from the dirt of the world, the dullness of the world, the hurts of past pains and traumas and difficulties. We need the Holy Spirit to heal, to shine, to remove all that stuff so we can shine God's love and bless others in a greater way. We all have closets. You know closets? They're those dark places in our hearts where we've shut and locked the door that we don't want anyone to know about, anyone to see, where we just keep that thing locked away, hidden, dark, surrounded usually by shame and by guilt. If anyone ever found out about that, they wouldn't like me. I would be rejected. I would get ostracized. Those are the places that we most need the Lord to shine and be present in. You know, this past Christmas season, I felt like the Lord wanted me to deal with one of those closets. Now, it's interesting because, I've dealt with this before. I've addressed it. I've gotten prayer several times for it. It's better. I can tell it's better. But this always in December, right after Thanksgiving, I could feel something. And it's for me, how there's this internal loneliness I feel in December. Every December, I just start feeling it. And again, it's better, but I felt like the Lord said, I want to go in there. I want to address that. That's not good or healthy for you. You need to experience my love and grace in that place. So I go, okay. And it has to do with something that happened when I was a little kid. And again, I've addressed it, I've dealt it, I got prayer for it. But so I go, okay. But what was different this time in my journaling and my time with the Lord, I would go, okay, God, I want to address that. And he goes, no. So this might sound kind of different, but it was like, no. I don't want to deal with it to you, the grown-up Barry. I want to deal with it as you, the little Barry. The one that experiences that time. So I was like, wow, okay. And as soon as I said, okay, Lord, and he talked to me like addressed me from that place. Little Barry, little boy, do you want to invite me into that place? And I could tell, I started connecting with that part of my heart. I was like, yes, Lord. He started meeting me. He started speaking to me. And I'm not gonna go into the details right now. Probably in the future I will, but it was like these things got uncovered. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I felt like all this shame, this loneliness, this isolation, and the Lord met me. The Lord met me there. And I felt his love in that place. And it was very, very powerful, very, very significant. And we'll see when next December rolls around how I feel, right? But I felt like there was a significant shift that took place. Those closets, they dull us. They keep us from experiencing the face of the shine of the glory of God, the love of God, and it prevents us from shining to others, or dims the light. And so one way we increase our shine, address those things. Go to the Lord and let him come into that place. Let him come in that place, because that's where we need it most. That's where the love wants to meet you and love you, in that place, the ugly place, the sinful place, the dirty place, the shameful place. Because when you experience the grace of God there at the core of your heart, that's where transformation takes place. Whew. Okay, so remove the dullness by letting God shine in those places. Secondly, increase, this is kind of connected, but increase our connection with the source. Increasing our connection with the source. When I was young, I remember it was at church, we got this little, and this was, okay, young, so this is like 50 plus years ago, right? 50, 60 years ago, right? I got this little, it was a little plastic white figure. I think it was a little girl or something, or angel or something, and it was praying, and it was glow in the dark. Right? So you get that. What do? You put it in the light. You put it under the lamp. Let it absorb the light, right? And then you go and go in the dark, right? And it glowed purple, right? Glowed purple. That was like so awesome, right? That's a picture of us. It's like in order to shine, we have to be close and in the light. To let the light shine on us. We need to know experientially, right? Ginosko, as Pastor O talked about, ginosko, right? Yada. We need to experientially know God's face shining upon us and experience that every day. God's shining upon us. God's love and blessing every day, his favor and his joy. Look at this passage, 1 John 3, 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. No doubt. Done deal. You were born. I just had my fourth grandson born, came out of Minnie's womb, right? There's no, he can't go back in. He was born. He's a son, right? When you accepted Christ, you were born a child of God. You are a child of God. And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. The fullness of who God intended us to be, we don't know yet. It's not visible yet. We know, look at this, that when he appears, when Jesus appears and we see him face to face, we will be like him. In other words, seeing Jesus, meeting Jesus, experiencing Jesus face to face, that's what transforms us into who he intends us to be, because we will see him just as he is. The key to becoming who God wants you to be is seeing, encountering, experiencing Jesus, his shine, face to face. When you have, I want to encourage you, when you have your time with God, you need time with God every day, every single day. You need to be in the light, in the shine. But when you have your time with God, you know, I know how it is. When you go, you have a little checkbox. I got to read the Bible. It's so hard to read, but I got to read the Bible. And a lot of times when we read the Bible, we read it for knowledge, right? Got to read the Bible. Got to pray for these people. Got to pray for my needs. We have our prayer list, right? We do it. And some of us, that's gone dusty and dirty, and it's in the corner, and we want to do it every day, but we don't. I want to encourage you, when you meet with God every day, if you're just starting, you haven't done it in a while, it's been something you go, I want you to do one thing. Not read the Bible. You can, but that's not first priority. Not do your prayer list. Share with God what you need and ask him to bless you. Ask him, be gracious to me. Bless me. Shine your face upon me. Because most of us, when we think about having our quiet time, our time with the Lord, it's a task to complete. But when you flip it and say, I'm going to receive a gift. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going so that God can pour his love upon me and I can receive and experience that for today. That helps to shift how you view your time with God. Because most of us think our time with God, we have to do for him. We love because he first loved us. He loving us is first, then we love. So go to receive. Be greedy. Be selfish. Be needy. Go in there and say, God, I'm just coming because I want to receive from you. I need it. I need, you know, it's kind of like when I've been talking to you about my journaling, hearing the Lord class, I journal, and what I journal is not prayers to God. I journal what I hear God speaking to me. And it's gotten to the point where when I go every day, I go, God, I need to hear your voice. I desperately need to hear your voice because your word and your voice is life to me. And every single day I go to God, he has spoken to me. Every single day. And I've cultivated it over the years, Every day he says something to me that gives me life. And so spend time with the Lord every day, but go first to receive, to have him shine his face on you, okay? Now let me give you some applications. So it's surrender, serve, shine, and here's some applications for this year that we're going to do as a whole church. These are a few things we're implementing as a whole church. You got some things to do on your own, but these are some things as a whole church. Number one, every second Sunday, we're going to start a healing service. We're healing service. Pastor Dean Fujishima, Pastor Carrie, their daughter Hannah, they're going to help us get it started. Okay, get it going. I'm so excited about this. So we're planning to start the first one in March. And then hopefully at some point, we're going to start doing it once a month, every second Sunday. I'm excited about this because people need to encounter the Lord. Your family, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors. When people are hurting and in need of healing, they will do almost anything. They will go almost anywhere, do almost anything, things that they're not used to or out of character because they're hurting. They want healing. They want relief. And I'm so, because this is part of the vision of originally why the Lord wanted us to start Catalyst. It was to understand the Holy Spirit, understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, understand, because I felt like people, our family and friends, they need to encounter God. They need to see the power of God. And I believe this more than other cases. I believe God will move in healing to people that are not Christians, because he wants to show them he's real. He loved them. He sent Jesus to die for them. And so I'm super excited about us starting this. I'm like, yes, this is exciting. This is exciting. And so this is a place for you to get healing, but it's for you to invite other people to come and get healing, And then in the future, open up. Right now, we're starting with those that are in prayer ministry. Those are things. There's certain reasons for that. I felt like that was where we're supposed to start. But in the future, some of you might feel like, I want to get involved in this. I want to be trained and learn how to pray for other people. I want to experience the God moving and then touching people and them getting healed using my prayer. And so we'll open it in the future, but this is something we're starting this year. Next, talked about a lot, participate in the serving challenge. Not enough said, join a small group so you can participate in the serving challenge. Third, we are going to increase multi-generational events. You know what I see and say, you know this, you see it in society. Many people, many families, many people, many of us no longer feel family. They don't feel the support, and they're not experiencing being part of this multi-generational family, how God intended it. And so that's one of our values, is being family, being the family of God and experiencing that. So we're going to be putting on more and more events. where we can experience the family of God. And when I say family, I'm not talking in particular about the nuclear family. I mean, some events will be targeted. I think Larissa is targeted towards younger kids. There's going to be some events like that. But we're going to have events where it's talking about not the nuclear family, the family of God. And so if you're single, you can experience family by being part of our church multi-generational family. You could be uncle or auntie to someone. You could be brother or sister to someone. You could experience, if you don't have a relationship or your grandparents are no longer one, you could experience some of that from the seniors in a church to be their grandson, their granddaughter, spiritually. That's what we wanted to see happen. You know, just this morning, I saw a YouTube video, and it was on the decline and the collapse of the megachurch, the Christian megachurch in the United States. So many of them have declined rapidly. And many whole, you know, these whole networks, they've shut down. And it's because, and I felt this for the last couple of years, it's because people don't connect with that. They want community. People are desperate for community, for connection, for relationship. We have that. We have that. I fully believe we have, God's created something that people are hungry for. They want connection. They want relationship. They want family experience. And that's what God's family is for. And then fourth application, as I said, spend time in the sun, S-O-N, shine, every day. Spend time in the sunshine every day and soak in the warmth, the love, the rays, the goodness, the blessing of the sun. That's our vision for this year. I hope you will just get on board with it and help us to make this place a city on a hill for us and for the surrounding community. Amen. Okay, we're going to finish the